Well, hey, good morning, everybody. Thank you so much for watching here today. If this is your first time, welcome. We love that you are here. If you are someone who's trying to figure out your faith right now, again, welcome. We think about you all the time whenever we put this stuff together. And this is a community that truly is a safe place to explore your faith and ask your questions. If you are part of the regular crew here, Hill City folks, how's it going? Hope everything is going well. We're in the last week of this Tada series, which I've been really enjoying, honestly, prepping for it. And it's been a really big deal when we think about this reveal that's going to happen. And so we've been focusing on little components of that for the past 7 weeks here together. And next week, we're going to start a series called Stronger. We do that every single year. And it's really built around how do we build healthy relationships? Because the reality is that our satisfaction in life hinges on how healthy our relationships are. And so we're going to spend, I think, 5 or 6 weeks talking about relationships. Nicole Eunice will be leading us off, and then Lacey's going to speak the week after that. We might have someone else worked in there as well, but really excited about that series coming up. But here's what, if you're just coming into this series, here's what it's been about. We've been talking about how do we really change. How do we really change and be transformed and renewed into something so that when this reveal happens, we're like, ta-da, like, here I am. So we've looked at a bunch of different components of this because truthfully, change is hard, right? If change were easy, we would all do it. We would see the areas that we need to change and we'd be like, just gonna do it. It's super easy, but it requires certain things. Like when you think about change, we have to understand that change is slow, right? So we have to understand that it's gonna be a longer process. We need to enjoy the process and appreciate the process. It's slow. Change also requires a consistency within us. We've gotta learn the disciplines that need to be put in place to actually change. And then the last thing around change is that it's incremental. I know whenever we decide to change and we want it to just be like, I went from A to Z or 1 to 10, but the reality is there are all these incremental steps that lead us to real growth, to produce something out of us, and that in this big reveal, we're like, ta-da, like, here I am. And so we've taken a look at some of the things that like stop us from change and don't allow us to prepare well for it. We've taken a look at the presence of God, to have peace in His presence. We've talked about how do we achieve godly wisdom? How do we have a posture of hope? How do we appreciate God's power? Last week, we talked about what does it mean to think like and act like and talk like a champion? And then this week, I actually think might be the most important week out of all the weeks. So if this is your first one, you're coming in on a good one, and you can watch the ones after the, go back and watch the other ones. But this might be the most important one. When you think of the word source, like, what comes to mind? Like, what jumps into your head, like, when you think of the word source? Does it, when you think about maybe the sun might be the source, right? Like, the, so you might be into gardening, and the sun becomes a source of growth to produce something out of your garden. When I think about garden, here's a little picture of our garden. It's beautiful, isn't it? Yeah, we've been using that to, we've been waiting for just each salad to come through every time so we can survive this pandemic. So you might think of the sun as a source. You might think of a power, like an outlet as a source, and maybe you resonate with the probably the most spoken and frustrated line used in our house over the past 3 months together is this: where is my charger? And maybe you resonate with that. And so maybe you think of like a power source that produces electricity coming out of it, right? For me, when I think of source, and this is going to sound odd, it would be my guess, I think that of nuclear power. And you might think, well, what? Why nuclear power? Well, it all stemmed from a guest we had on our Stay Curious podcast named Seth Henshaw, who comes to Hill City, who we talk about science and faith, and he's the one who actually got me going on nuclear power and the benefits of it and how great it is. And so I'm all in on nuclear power as a source of energy that we should all use, and I'm not trying to sell it, though if there is a marketing opportunity out there, I would happily oblige. But it was just really, because when I think of source, that's what comes to mind. But when we think about what these sources are, they what? They produce something out of us. Like something happens from the source, and something is produced out of that, whether that's energy or electricity or like actual fruit or something. And so I want to talk about that today because I think it's critical for us to identify the source that we are connected to, because here's just the main thought for this morning. What we produce in life will be determined by the source we are connected to. So that's really important for us to then begin to start thinking through, okay, what is the source I'm actually connected to? Because it produces something out of me. Jesus was teaching his disciples, and he had a bunch of people gathered around, and he, in John chapter 15, he starts talking about this interesting analogy or metaphor that he uses. He talks about that I am the true vine. So we're gonna read John chapter 15, verses 1 through 17. And it says this: I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that he will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine and you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you remain in me and remain in my word and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father. I have loved you even as the Father has loved me, so remain in my love. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. This is my commandment, to love each other in the same way I have loved you. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you slaves because a master does not confide in his slaves. Now you are my friends since I have told you everything the Father has told me. You didn't choose me, I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit so that the Father will give you whatever you ask for using my name. This is my command, to love each other. So here's your 30-second question to kind of that will answer to get your mind going in the right direction. And that says, what is one area of your life that you wish you saw more fruit being produced? A, relationships, B, faith, C, emotional health, or D, physical health? All right, we'll be back in 30 seconds. Now, here's what we want to answer today. How do we produce more fruit? Like, what does that look like? And how do we get into that? So the first thing that we're going to concentrate on is this. We need to identify the right source. All right. So identify the right source. Jesus, when he's talking to these guys, he's saying, hey, listen, I am the true vine. He actually says that in verse 1 and verse 5. And when he's saying that, he's also implying that there are fake vines that we can get attached to, our branches can get attached to fake vines, and they produce something. But it might seem like fruit, but what happens? It actually withers away. And we feel that when we lose purpose, or we feel like we're kind of spinning our wheels all the time. We're attached to the wrong vine. When Jesus says, I'm the true vine, it's kind of a really big deal on multiple levels. One, he's saying that I'm the real source of everything, that apart from me, you can't do anything. You could do some things, like you can do some good things, but apart from me, you won't have real purpose. You won't have a fullness of joy that he's talking about. You won't have an overflowing. Like, apart from me, you can't really do anything of substance. But here's what else he's saying that we can sometimes miss out on. He is making a big political statement. Now, sometimes when we read these passages, we miss out on some of the bigger things that Jesus is actually saying. Here is a rendering actually of the gate into the temple. And what you'll see on that gate is this golden vine. All right. So now the temple was a big deal. It was where people gathered in the community, in the Jewish community. The temple is where people believe that the presence of God was housed, and only certain groupings of people could actually go into that area of the temple. The temple was a symbol of kind of nationalism, like that God's chosen people. Like, it was a big, big deal of what it was to the people. And so what Jesus is actually saying right here in this moment, he's like, hey, I know in that entrance to the temple, you see that vine and you think that's where it's at. You think it's in that grouping of, or just for that grouping of people, or you think it's in that building that's housed right there. That's the only place the presence of God could actually be. Or maybe you think it's in the nation of some kind. And Jesus is like, no. I'm the true vine. That's me. It's not found in just that. So here's what's interesting. I think let's put it into the kind of modern day context. It would be like Jesus coming in and saying, hey, it's not just for this national, like this grouping of, say, Americans, or if it, you know, whatever country people, whatever country Christians are in, it would say, hey, you might think it's just found in American Christians, but it's not. I'm the true vine. Okay. You might think he might come into, like, you might think to church buildings, right? You might say, oh, you think this is just the place church happens? Oh, you think this is just it? No. I'm the true vine. Is the gathering of people in church important? Of course, it's critical, but I'm the true vine. You can get your source from me. It's not just the building. It's not what it's about. It's man, it's the presence of God. It's Jesus that's a true vine. He might say something like this, hey, I'm the true president, right? Or I'm the true prime minister, or I'm the true king, or I'm the true, he would say, I'm the true flag that you think, oh, that symbolizes something. And so Jesus is making this massive statement. It's huge. It's huge. And so the listener at that point in time would be like, whoa. What are you saying here? Are you saying you're bigger than the temple? And Jesus would say, yes. Are you saying that you're bigger than the nation of Israel? Yes. Are you saying that you're bigger than any kind of government or anything? He's like, yes, I'm saying all of those things. Why? Because I'm the real source. I'm the right source. Attached to me is where real change happens. Attached to me is where real fruit is actually produced. The only thing of any kind of substance. And so that begins to actually make us have to answer a question like this. Like, what is the source of my purpose and what fruit is coming out of it? So think about that. So when you think about your life right now, you are producing something. Is it healthy fruit? Is it fruit that's ripe? Is it fruit that continues to kind of pile on top of each other? Or do you think, man, I'm producing something, but it's not doing anything. It's not influencing anything. It doesn't actually matter in the scheme of things. That means that you're attached to the wrong source. I wrote this down this week. I said, if we aren't connected to Jesus as our source, then we've made an idol to replace him. You have to worship something as your source. And if it isn't Jesus, you've placed something else, a fake vine, and actually it turns into an idol. And that's what begins to happen when we're connected to something else. But when we're connected to the ultimate source in Jesus, the energy and the power that can come out of that is actually limitless. It's limitless. And so sometimes we think, oh, I can't do this and I can't do that. Where Jesus would say, no, connected to me, it's limitless. Your potential is limitless. I was thinking about this story in 1904. In Wales, this guy named Evan Roberts gathered around these 16 other young people, really young people, and they had this prayer time together, like just praying for a revival for God to move. Wales at that point in time just really didn't have any semblance of faith or Christianity in it. And so Evan gathers these 16 other almost kids to some level, but really young people, and he prays four things. He has them do four important things to connect to Jesus. He says, hey, you need to put away any unconfessed sin, like don't hide anything, confess your sin, be vulnerable with your sin, like open up to really who you really are. The second thing he says, put away any doubtful habit, meaning any kind of habit that takes you away from Jesus. It's not life-giving. He said, obey the Spirit promptly, meaning when you feel God moving you in a direction, you obey and you go. All right. You don't go, I don't know. I'll think about it. I don't know. Like, you obey and you have the courage to actually go. And then you confess Christ publicly. All right. So those four things were the things that he concentrated on and prayed for and everything. And he says, and we believe connected to Jesus. Jesus as a source, we believe that it's limitless what could happen. So these 17, it was Evan and 16 other people, those 17 people got together in that moment, started to pray, and guess what? In the next few years, over 100,000 people came to know Jesus. Why? Because they were connected to the source. They were connected to it. And what can be produced out of that? It's limitless fruit. Limitless. See, when God is our source, our why changes, right? And so what happens is that we want to confess. We want to confess. We want to live vulnerably. We want to produce the things that God wants us to produce. And then we want to repent and turn away from anything that could take us away from that. So we need to identify the right source. The second thing we need to do is identify what needs to be pruned. Identify what needs to be pruned. When Jesus starts off in this passage, what does he do? He says, hey, listen, I'm the vine, and God my Father he's the gardener. And what does the gardener have the right to do? He has the right to prune things, to cut away the things that might inhibit real growth, to make sure that enough light is getting in, enough sun's getting in, so the branches that are attached can fully grow. So he has the right to prune whatever might stop us from real growth. Let's process that for a second. He has the right to prune anything that might stop us from real growth. So what might stop us? Might be a bad habit. It might be unconfessed sin. It might be a person. It might be something in our past. It might be shame. It might be some kind of vice. It might be busyness in our calendar. Those things could all prohibit us from real growth. And what Jesus is saying is he has the right to prune it. And that when that's pruned, then that's when we can see real fruit. So then will we open ourselves up to be pruned? Will we open ourselves up? If we're connected to the right source, then we're willing to also be pruned. You see, here's the thing. Without boundaries, let me put it this way. I'm going to show you a little picture of this first. Grapes grow in the 30th to 50th percentile. So when you think about a parallel, when you think about where wine comes from, it's all in that gap from the 30th to 50th parallel. You can technically go outside of that boundary, but guess what? The climate isn't correct. The soil isn't correct. The way the sun hits the grapes just isn't correct. And so what's produced is not good wine. And so the best wine is all produced in the certain 30th to 50th parallel. Why? Because that's where the real fruit is. That's where you can really produce what you need to produce. And you need certain things to make that happen, right? You need the right climate. You need the right pruning. You need the right process. You need to cut away anything that could hurt the grapes on the vine. And you need a great sommelier, right? The person who handles all of that. You need someone to run that and to do that and everything. So you need all of those things. You need boundaries. Like to have good wine, if you like good wine, and raise your hand. Yeah, right? Like a good sip of wine, right? Which is okay. And so, but if you want good wine and want to taste good wine, there's boundaries in place, all right? So here's something just to think about. Without boundaries, we will never experience freedom and real growth. Let me say that again. Without boundaries, we will never experience freedom and real growth. We need boundaries to have freedom. So here's your 30-second question. Where do you need healthier boundaries in your life? It's pretty simple. All right, answer that and we'll be back in 30 seconds. All right, hopefully your brain's thinking about all these things now where you need healthier boundaries, where you wish you had more fruit producing, and I hope you're starting to think about what am I really connected to, and then also like what needs might need to be pruned in my life. And then here's the third way that we can truly produce more fruit. We need to identify the correct spiritual pathways. We need to identify the spiritual pathways. When you go through a vineyard, you'll see that there are pathways, right, that you walk down and you see all the grapes growing. Well, there's a reason that there are pathways. It's the best way for things to be connected and the best way for things to have enough space to actually grow. And so we need these pathways. Why? because we need pathways to produce fruit. Here's just a reality that you cannot get away from. There is no way to get around this point, okay? Spiritually mature people produce fruit. You can't get around that. Sometimes when people say, is that person a Christian or is that person this? And listen, there's no way to ever judge anyone's heart. So we can't ever do that, right? It's like when someone's like, hey, do you think that person's in heaven or hell? I'm always like, I have no idea. But what you can do though is look at a person's fruit that they're producing, and you can begin to assess, honestly, is that person taking their faith seriously? See why? Because there is fruit when we take our faith seriously. There's something that is produced out of us, and you cannot get around that. And if there's no fruit, then we aren't following Jesus. It's that simple. And Jesus teaches to that in different ways all throughout his teachings. I know we don't like to think about the harsher things that he says, but he does. And he's like, there will be fruit that comes out of this. And so Jesus does something really cool for us. He identifies some ways for us to have pathways to do something, to have pathways to produce fruit. So what are those pathways? He details it out. If you kind of go back and read through the scripture passage again, he highlights this phrase. It says, remain in me. All right, remain in me. And what's interesting about that part of it is that John, the writer of this letter, he uses that word remain 40 times in his letter. And here's what it means in different like parts of the letter that go outside of this story. It means to choose to have faith in Jesus. All right, so that's one way we remain in him. It means to have a perseverance of our faith. That's another way to remain in him. And then there's a loving obedience. All right, that's what it means to remain in him. And so we begin to see, all right, this idea of remaining in him begins to shape our spiritual pathways. Now, what are those spiritual pathways? Well, Jesus actually lays them out for us. Maybe when we were reading through it, you missed them, and that's okay, right? That's why when we go through scripture, it's important to kind of reread and kind of meditate on them, but we might have missed them. But Jesus actually lays it out for us. He says, this is how you remain in me, right? He says, the first thing that you have to do is prayer. You have to have like a deep prayer life. He talks about that this prayer life is what it connects us to him. Now, when you think about prayer, here's an easy way to think about prayer. One, do you do it? Okay? So that's the first thing we think about with prayer is do we actually do it? That's a big part of prayer. And so we can see like, okay, do I have the pathway of prayer in my life? Two, if you do it, you have to ask yourself this, do my prayers kind of echo the life and the heart of Jesus? So think about that for a second. There's ways to think about this. For instance, when I pray, if God answered all of my prayers, would anyone else's life change? It's a good way to think about it. Or how about this? If God answered all of my prayers, who would come to know Jesus that currently doesn't know Jesus? Okay, that's another way. If God answered all of my prayers, what parts of my life would be pruned? What would change? And so there's easy ways to see, are my prayers echoing the heart of Jesus? See, what Jesus teaches us in this, he says, hey, our prayers are connected. When we're connected to him, then what ends up happening is our prayers will kind of echo his heart in this and what he actually teaches. That's why in the end, he's like, hey, God will give us whatever we want. Does that mean if we ask for something, we automatically get it? No, what he's saying is that in our prayer life, when we are connected to the source, our prayers actually begin to echo his heart. And so then our prayers are centered around what God would actually want. And then when we pray what God wants, of course, we're going to get it, right? So we begin to see that. So prayer becomes a pivotal point in this. I love this. I heard this verse. This was, gosh, I don't even know how many years ago now it was, but a guy did a sermon on this, and it's just kind of stuck with me as a thing about prayer. And it's out of Ezekiel 22:30, and this is God speaking. He says, I looked for someone among them who would build up the wall, and then here's the important part, and stand before me in the gap on behalf of the land so I will not have to destroy it. And God says, but I found no one. And I started just thinking about this. That's what he wants from all of us who say they follow Jesus. When we connect to Jesus as our source, as the right source, as the vine, here's what happens. We want to pray and stand in the gap for people. We want to pray and stand in the gap for our land. We want to pray and stand in the gap for those that are hurting or those that are marginalized. We want to pray and stand in the gap, and that God is looking for people to stand in that gap. The second pathway that we see is that he wants us to dive into his teachings. He wants us to dive into his teachings. Here's what this means: to study what he taught. I know that sometimes we don't like to read or take the time to, but to study what he taught. You know, an easy way to do this is just set a schedule where every morning you just put aside some time to just read scripture. I don't care for the next few years if you just decide, I'm just going to read what Jesus taught and that's it. That's totally fine. But study what he taught. Memorize what he taught. Have it written on your heart. Psalm 19, 119 talks a lot about having the word of the God, of the Lord written on our hearts. Why? Because it directs our paths. So to study. Now, I know people want to like just plow through scripture sometimes. And listen, some of those, the Bible in 1 year reading plans are awesome because it gets you like kind of reading scripture and it's really great. The most important thing in those plans though is to make sure that you're never rushing. That you're never rushing, that you're taking time over scripture to meditate and breathe and take it all in so you're not missing the component of it. The third pathway that we begin to see, so we've got prayer, we've got diving into his teachings, and then the third one is obedience, that we need to obey, that there, this isn't reluctant obedience. This isn't the kind of obedience that says, I need to do these five things to earn God's favor. It's not that kind of obedience. The spiritual pathway is this heart, this joy in obedience, right? That there's something, when Jesus actually teaches there, he says, hey, there's this fullness of life. How do we get a fullness of life? It's because a joy from the freedom we have to obey and follow Jesus. Like if we think that following Jesus will give us the richest life and most satisfying life possible, then we should willingly want to obey. We should be willingly to say, God, you have every piece of me. I withhold nothing back from you. All right. So here's what we've got to think about. So then spiritual fruit then isn't just about believing. It's about having faith. And you might be thinking, whoa, isn't that the same thing? It's not. See, believing is just saying, I believe that there is a Jesus. Having faith is saying, I trust in who Jesus is, meaning that he died and then he rose again, right? That he's Savior and King. So I trust in who that he is and I have faith in who he is. And so when I put my faith in something, then I'm willing to also obey. And there's a joy in that. And so the spiritual disciplines of obedience then, or the spiritual disciplines that kind of center around obedience, they become pillars for our inner soul. And we love it. And we love it because it sets the foundation. Here's a fourth thing that Jesus put out there. He says that we need to have sacrificial love in community. It's when he talks about the greater love, right? About laying down your life for a friend. Now, I will say that verse can easily get taken out of context because what Jesus is actually talking about here is that when the idea of laying down your life for your friend is doing so to actually be a witness to the gospel, a witness to the love of Christ, a witness to the meaning of Jesus, all right? So that's like what Jesus is actually referring to in the scripture passage, not really anything else around the idea of laying down your life for something, but it's about the love, the extreme love of another person. Why? Because you see them as made in the image of God, and you want to sacrifice for them in such a way and show them such love in such a way that they too see they are made in the image of God and how much God loves them. All right, so it's that kind of love, that kind of sacrifice that brings it into community. Now you might think, like, I don't want community. I like to be alone by myself. I want to study by myself. And it's like, no. Think about this. In this, using this kind of grape and wine analogy, you can't have wine with one grape. You need a collection of grapes to come in there, right? And so we need that. We need sacrificial love in community. I was this past week, I saw this little video clip that I'm going to show you here in just a second. And I just want you to just take in the love in this. Take in when you hear the brother shouting, you can do it, you can do it, you can do it. Just take in the fullness of joy that comes out of this loving. That, like, this is the kind of love that we want to see in community. So take a quick look at this.
You got it, sweetie.
Now, when you look at that clip, right, like there's, and it's a quick clip, but when you look at that clip, what do you see? You see what? Joy. You see a sacrificial love. You see two kids like made in the image of God. And so you see them coming together to produce something that overflows. That's the kind of sacrificial love that we want to see in community. And then here's the last thing that Jesus actually details. He says, we need to be a witness to the world, a witness to the world. When there's no fruit in our life, the message of Jesus becomes repulsive and resistible. But when there's real spiritual fruit coming out of us, people are drawn into it. That people want to know more about it. People are inquisitive about why you talk about this hope and this love and all this purpose stuff, right? They're drawn into it. And then we help prep others to receive the message. So we become a witness to the world. So those are the five spiritual pathways that Jesus details out in this. And so I just want to close with this kind of thought here this morning. When you go back and you start looking through this passage again, and I would encourage you to go reread all of it, we begin to see a couple of significant things along with this. Like, I want to go back to how when Jesus says that his ultimate goal for us is joy. Have you ever thought about that? That his ultimate goal for you and for me is to experience a fullness, a joy that overflows. That's important when we begin to kind of think through all of this stuff. I think when we think about when he says, you're no longer, I don't consider you a slave, I consider you a friend, right? What does that mean? In relationship together with each other. That's significant. That's the only, that's the only belief system that has that relationship mindset there with God. And so it's important to take some of this stuff in. Listen, y'all, we've also got to we can't shortcut this process of change. So my hope and my prayer throughout this whole entire series is that we would be willing to push away the idea of a quick fix. We would be willing to take in all of these elements so that we would have this big reveal. And that in this big reveal, we're like, ta-da, here is who God made me to be. Let's pray. So God, as we say every week, we've got a choice to make. We choose whether or not to follow you. We choose whether or not to have you as our source. We choose to find our hope and our passion and our purpose and in our life to be in you or to not be in you. And so, God, this morning we've got to choose. And I hope we'll make that choice to choose you, to choose you as the ultimate power source. Because in the possibility of what will be produced out of us, it's limitless. Why? Because you are the ultimate power and the ultimate authority, the ultimate in every capacity and every facet of life. So God, I pray that we will trust in who you are, that you died and that you rose again, that you are the only answer to evil and injustice and sin. I pray that we will trust in this message, in what you taught, that you are the source of all good, that you are the source of all fruit, and that it's only through you that we can experience the joy that will overflow. So God, we thank you for who you are and what you do. In your name we pray, everybody said, amen. All right, we've got one more card trick today. Lacey's going to take you out here in just a second. And as always, you guys, thank you so much for your incredible generosity that just continues to make such a huge impact throughout the city. And actually, honestly, it goes beyond the city for people we support, even in different countries, and helping some different organizations, helping plant other churches, helping, as I talked about last week, we're helping come behind to some other established churches. We're helping feed people. We're helping doing things with foster care. So many different things that your generosity is actually speaking into. And so thank you guys so much for being the heart to just love on people so well and be a light into this community. If you want to give, there's a link to do that. But thank you guys so much. Lacey's going to take us out, and I'll see you at the end for a quick little card trick. All right. Thanks, guys.